Some people's generosity is mind-boggling. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Friday, TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. You know, every Friday can be a good Friday if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Have you done that yet? Are you surprised to hear a Catholic priest tell you that? Because you're not used to Catholic priests talking in a way that sounds so evangelical? Well, you know what I am? I'm a Catholic evangelist. I go about the whole country spreading the good news that God is with us and He will never abandon us. Yeah, and by the way, Catholics do believe in accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Perhaps we don't talk the way that our Protestant brothers and sisters talk. Perhaps we don't use the same terminology. Perhaps we don't do it with the same emotion. But we do believe that. We end our prayers to Christ our Lord, amen. We do believe in the power of death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. A good Friday. Every Friday can be a good Friday. Well, how do you make this personal declaration that Jesus is your Savior? Well, you can do it with your lips, but your head and your heart have to be connected. You can think one way, but act another way. You can speak one way, but act another way. I love the story about a policeman who pulls a car over, walks up, gets the lady out of the car, handcuffs her, takes her back to his police car, takes her to the police station, about ready to file a report, checks and finds out that the car really belonged to the lady. The policeman says, "I am so sorry, ma'am, but I thought your car was a stolen car, that you stole the car." The woman said, "Well, why would you say that?" He said, "Well, I was following you for a while, and I saw you beeping a horn, I saw you screaming at the other people in traffic, I saw you make an obscene gesture towards somebody. And I thought the car was stolen because there was a bumper sticker on the back of the car that said, 'If you love Jesus, honk. Honk if you love Jesus.'" Get the point? Get the point of the story? So, in saying, "I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior," those words don't mount to a hill of beans unless you put that into practice. Talk's cheap. Jesus said, "These people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." So what do I like to do this year on Friday to make it so special, to make it a good Friday? Well, this year I am devoting every Friday to sharing with you stories, true stories, of the grace, the power, the miracle, the heroism that comes when a person has accepted Jesus Christ as his or her personal Lord and Savior. And today's story is shared by the famous Dr. James Thompson. And he's writing about his dad. And here's what he writes. "My dad was the original soft touch to those who were hungry. He was an evangelist who journeyed from place to place to hold revival meetings. Travel was expensive, and we never seemed to have much more money than was absolutely necessary. One of the problems was the way churches paid their ministers in those days. Pastors received a year-round salary, but evangelists were paid only when they worked." That's what happens, by the way, for me, folks. I don't get paid a weekly salary, a monthly salary. I get paid if I work. So I can appreciate the story very much. Let me continue. "Therefore, my father's income stopped abruptly during Thanksgiving, Christmas, summer vacation, or any time he rested. Perhaps that's why we were always near the bottom of the barrel when he was at home. But that didn't stop my father from giving. I remember Dad going off to speak in a tiny church and coming home 10 days later. My mother greeted him warmly and asked how the revival had gone. He was always excited about the subject. Eventually, in moments like this, she would get around to asking him about the offering. Women have a way of worrying about things like that. 'How much did they pay you?' she asked. I can still see my father's face as he smiled and looked at the floor. "Ah," he stammered. My mother stepped back and looked into his eyes. "Oh, I get it," she said. "You gave the money away again, didn't you?" "Mert," he said. "The pastor there is going through a hard time. His kids are so needy. He just broke my heart. They have holes in their shoes, and one of them is going to school on these cold mornings without a coat. I felt I should give the entire $50 to them." My good mother looked intently at him for a moment, and then she smiled. "You know, if God told you to do it, it's okay with me." Then a few days later, the inevitable happened. The Dobsons ran completely out of money. There was no reserve to tide us over. That's when my father gathered us in the bedroom for a time of prayer. I remember that day as though it were yesterday. He prayed first. "O Lord, you promised that if we would be faithful with you and your people in our good times, then you would not forget us in our time of need. We have tried to be generous with what you have given us, and now we are calling on you for help." A very impressionable 10-year-old boy named Jimmy was watching and listening very carefully that day. What will happen, he wondered. Did God hear Dad's prayer? The next day, an unexpected check for $1,200 came for us in the mail. Honestly, that's the way it happened. Not just this once, but many times. I saw the Lord match my dad's giving stride for stride. No, God never made us wealthy, but my young faith grew by leaps and bounds. I learned that you cannot outgive God. My father continued to give generously through the midlife years and into his 60s. I used to worry about how he and Mom would fund their retirement years because they were able to save very little money. If Dad did get many dollars ahead, he'd give them away. I wonder how in the world they would live on the pittance paid to retired ministers by their denomination. As a widow, my mother received just $80.50 per month after Dad spent 44 years in the church. It is disgraceful how poorly we take care of our retired ministers and their widows. One day, my father was lying on the bed and Mom was getting dressed. She turned to look at him and he was crying. "What's the matter?" she asked. "The Lord just spoke to me," he replied. "Do you want to tell me about it?" she prodded. "He told me something about you," Dad said. She then demanded that he tell her what the Lord had communicated to him. My father said, "It was a strange experience. I was just lying here thinking about many things. I wasn't praying or even thinking about you when the Lord spoke to me and said, 'I'm going to take care of Myrtle.'" Neither of them understood the message, but simply filed it away in a catalog of imponderables. But 5 days later, my dad had a massive heart attack, and 3 months after that, he was gone. At 66 years of age, this good man, whose name I share, went out to meet the Christ whom he had loved and served for all those years. It was thrilling to witness the way God fulfilled his promise to take care of my mother. Even when she was suffering from end-stage Parkinson's disease and required constant care at an astronomical cost, God provided. The small inheritance that Dad left to his wife multiplied in the years after his departure. It was sufficient to pay for everything she needed, including marvelous and loving care. God was with her in every other way too, tenderly cradling her in his secure arms until he took her home. In the end, my dad never came close to outgiving God. End of story. Touching, huh? True story. Which raises the question, doesn't it? Do you believe that you can outgive God? Have you ever tried? Do you give from your abundance or from your necessity? Are you generous? You have to get outside your comfort zone when it comes to giving. Are you willing to take a risk to be absolutely generous? I mean, that's important for you. And that's what I'm saying at the beginning of the program. If you're going to say, "I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior," how do I know that? But more importantly, how do you know that? How do you get that tested?
Well, yeah,
you pray more. You forgive more.
And also you're generous. Really generous. Generous to the extent that you might put yourself and your family in some jeopardy. Not pay this bill this month, but be generous at that with the money that you would have paid the bill. Now, don't call me crazy. Call me a follower of Jesus Christ. Have I done that? Folks, how do you think I built a hospital in 6 years from a small clinic to a hospital? How do you think I built that in Oaxaca, Mexico? By taking a large amount of the money from my books, my other resources, from my preaching, from my Christmas gifts and my birthday gifts, and sending it down there. And watching God multiply it. And neither I nor my community of Gabbishim Franciscans have ever been in need or lacked anything because I was that generous with that money. And the more I gave, the more came in. What about you? Have you ever tested it? Your call. Here's today's food for thought. It comes from a Japanese proverb. One kind word can warm 3 winter months. Isn't that good? One kind word can warm 3 winter months. Who do I want you to pray for today? Well, our prayer partners today are chiropractors. You know what? I don't even care if you have an MD behind your name. You got to respect what chiropractors can do. In certain ways, depending on what's going wrong with a person's back, their skeleton, their muscles, their soft tissues, chiropractors can be a big help. I know from personal example, from personal experience, the help the chiropractors have given me, helped me in ways that I didn't have to take a lot of medication for health problems that I have. Dear God, bless chiropractors. Allow them to use their hands for the honor and glory of God. Let them bring help, care, love to people. And I ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now to make you smile or laugh. Things are so expensive today that it's cheaper to eat money. I went into a supermarket, a guy said, the other day and asked for $2 worth of potatoes. And the clerk said, sorry, but we don't slice them. I asked for $2 worth of Swiss cheese. He wrapped up 6 holes. Milk has gone up too. Now, I don't mind cows being contented, but do they have to be hilarious? Want to contact me, Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me hear from you. Send me your prayer intentions. Send me a check. Make it out to TASH. Send it to me, Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord.